Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the great 360 Listen Together. I'm Brandi Powell, weekend anchor and reporter at KSTP 5 Eyewitness News. Tonight, I am your host for this new event, a twist on the traditional in-person fundraiser. Together, we will listen to an impressive showcase of emerging voices. You'll hear from three young Black women who've set out to tell stories differently and better. They're storytellers you definitely want to follow, and their stories all started at 360. We need your support. Tonight, during the program, we ask you to give to the program access drive to ensure emerging voices from all communities can continue to access 360's life-changing programming. 360 Journalism is a nonprofit at the College of Arts and Sciences at the University of St. Thomas. By teaching writing and reporting, 360 gives powerful tools to diverse young people to tell important stories about their lives and communities. The goal? To create a more inclusive worldview for all. And as we know, it is critical for this moment in time. I'm joined now by Executive Director Chad Carruthers to talk about why emerging voices matter. Chad, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Brandi. Happy to be here.
Well, Chad, you know, 360 has been at St. Thomas now for about 20 years. How do you feel that the program is even more relevant now than ever?
Yeah, you're correct. 360 Journalism has been fighting for media equity for 20 years here at St. Thomas. And in this moment, there's an urgency for representative truth tellers like we've never seen. We live in a society rampant in false narratives, misrepresentations, and more than ever, we're just not getting the full story. And this matters. It results in inequitable policy, inequitable outcomes, particularly for BIPOC communities. And we believe that media equity is part of the solution. It transforms narratives, leads to more inclusive worldviews, and ultimately it leads to representative policy that can create real change. And 360 Journalism, we're poised to meet this moment and really help to deliver on media equity.
And there's so many wonderful, amazing young people who are part of the program who we'll hear from soon. So tell us, what is new for 360 and what's next?
Yeah, it's been a busy year, Brandi. And first of all, we're super excited that program alum DeMine Chun has joined 360 as a full-time program manager in February. In the bigger picture, though, just before the pandemic, we held a strategic retreat that identified three areas of focus for 360: ongoing program access for all students, immersive programming opportunities, future success initiatives. And we call that the 360 pathway, from early high school all the way into professional engagement and journalism, communication, and beyond. And we're super committed to building and strengthening that pathway to change even more lives and to help transform our community.
Yeah, and so many of those young people have talked with me about how 360 has really helped guide them along that entire pathway. So let's talk about that program access piece. As we've said, this work is critical. How can listeners support 360?
Well, as you know, Brandi, 360's mission is to empower the next generation of storytellers to create a more inclusive worldview for all. And we want to ensure that all communities are getting the full story. And the best way to do that is with representative storytellers. So it's critical that any and all students who want to participate in 360 can do so regardless of their financial situation. And in fact, more than 80% of 360 students attend the program at no cost based on financial need. And in this moment, as we've talked about, program access for all is more critical than ever. Over the past year, we've been fundraising diligently to ensure ongoing program access for all, and listeners of the great Minnesota Listen Together can help us reach our program access goal with a contribution while they enjoy the emerging voices they're about to hear.
Yeah, and Chad, you know, I understand firsthand why diverse storytelling is so important and matters so much in this moment in time as a Black woman, as a Black journalist during what's really been this racial awakening. Storytelling and diverse storytelling is so important, and it's critical that we hear from voices of communities whose voices aren't typically amplified. So tell me more about the emerging voices we'll hear from tonight.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head, and we're all in for a treat, Brandy, with these three. You talk about amplification. Aaliyah, Choma, and Ariana are three talented 360 alums who have great minds and big voices. They've taken the skills that they learned in 360, and they're blazing their own trails now as important emerging voices of our community. And you know that this is what 360 journalism is all about.
You all are doing such amazing work, Chad. Thank you so much. And a big thank you to the following for their support of 360, founding partner, the College of Arts and Sciences at St. Thomas, great 360 Listen Together program partner, Hubbard Broadcasting Foundation, and our participating partners for this event, Star Tribune, University of Minnesota Hubbard School of Journalism, TPT, Twin Cities PBS, and Pioneer Press. Derek Chauvin, the now former Minneapolis police officer, has been convicted on all murder and manslaughter charges against him in the killing of George Floyd on May 25th, 2020. And since last summer, voices from around the community have risen to inspire conversation and change. Tonight, we'll amplify three of those voices, all 360 journalism alums. Our first emerging voice tonight is Aaliyah Demery. Aaliyah graduated from Irondale Senior High School in 2020. Aaliyah was super active in 360 throughout high school and learned how to tell stories across many platforms. So let me set the stage for this story. Days before Aaliyah graduated from high school, George Floyd lost his life in South Minneapolis. It was a deadly police encounter. Aaliyah decided she needed to document what was happening. So she grabbed her camera and along with her dad, she set out to capture what was happening in the streets. Aaliyah's camera was focused on young people instead of burning buildings. So let's take a listen to the story she produced at 360's Digital Media Arts Summer Camp, sponsored by the Center for Prevention at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota.
One, two, three!
The faces and voices at the Minnesota State Capitol on June 2nd were young.
Justice for George Floyd.
Justice for George Floyd.
Black Lives Matter, and we want to show that.
Black lives!
Instead of planning summer vacation, these Minnesota high schoolers plan to fight for justice for George Floyd. George Floyd's death and the protests hit home for Minneapolis residents, like Abdul Omari. He advises businesses on equity issues to create a better future for Minnesota's youth of color.
Because like my phone has not stopped ringing since it happened, and it's like all of a sudden people care about racism.
As protests against racism spread nationwide, looting began and violent clashes with police left hundreds of people wounded. Omari says that the danger isn't only physical, but mental, especially for youth.
I think that it'll stay with people for a very long time, and we as a community need to continue to think about how we are more accepting of some of the mental health impacts that we have.
And those impacts only weigh heavier because of COVID-19.
You know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic that physically is impacting Black and Brown people at significantly higher numbers than white people.
Despite that, and the physical and mental health risks, young activists weren't stopped from making their voices heard.
But the reality is, if we're actually going to dismantle the systemic oppression and racism, everybody needs to be a part of it. I am excited and I am energized by youth involvement.
From 360 Journalism, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Center of Prevention, and the Fly Subject, I'm Aaliyah Demery in Minneapolis.
Yes! Yeah!
Wow, Aaliyah, that was a powerful piece. You're so talented and full of heart. I wonder, you know, as a Black woman, what made you want to document this moment in history in this particular way?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. I really wanted to go outside because I feel like it was an unfortunate situation, but it was the perfect situation to really get people that look like me perspectives from someone that's coming from me. And I wanted to be the one to do that because I felt like every time I watched the news, nobody was really telling exactly what was going on or talking to the right people. So I felt I had to do it myself.
And you talked to, like you said, you know, a lot of young people. And I wonder, as a Black person telling stories about Black people, how do you feel that you're telling the story of different people in our community differently and better?
I feel like it's relatable. Like you would kind of trust someone that looks like you and experienced the same life experience. A lot of the young people I talked to, they were really outside trying to find food. A lot of the grocery stores in their communities were burned down, clothing stores. Some mothers couldn't even get diapers for their kids. So having their story be told and shared, that's really the main reason that I did that, because a lot of people didn't know half of that.
Yeah, you know, you have said that you really want to give platforms to youth of color and really be an inspiration in that way and to empower people. What's next for you? You're doing that through a really, really powerful project coming up here.
Yeah, so the uprising of George Floyd really inspired me to just want to start my own multimedia company, which is going to be called The Fly Subject. Through there, I interview entertainers, activists, anybody that's doing anything positive within Minnesota. And now I have a soon-to-be radio show as well.
That is so exciting. I wonder, you have so much going on, so much that you're looking forward to doing as you continue to grow and change our communities. You know, how has 360 really been a building block for you as you move forward?
360 really gave me like everything that I know today. Like I didn't really even know what journalism meant. There was such a really big support system, always encouraging and making sure I stayed on top of things. They made me feel like I really did have a future with what I was doing. This really led my pathway into the career that I wanted to do. If I were to like get famous tomorrow, I would thank 360. Half the things that I know right now is because of them.
Yeah. I mean, you were saying not only did they help you with the technical aspects of that, but you were saying they actually really believed in you and gave you that encouragement. And there were mentors that you really built. How important has that been for you?
I think it's been super important. For me, I'm the type of person where I need like reassurance all the time, and I need someone to really tell me the truth. And I feel like they always did that. They always made me feel like I had a person there that was watching me and believed in me. And like everything that I did, I wanted it to be better than it was the first time I did something, just so I could hear them say that they like it.
What would you say to people who are considering donating? Why should they support 360?
I feel like I'm the perfect example because I'm going to be something big one day, and it's really because of 360. And it gives so many youth opportunity. Like I never seen certain rooms. I never got to sit down with certain people until I started with 360.
Wonderful. Aaliyah, you are inspiring. And I'll say, I remember you when. So when I'm waving hi, you gotta say, hey, Brandy, I remember you from this wonderful event that 360 is doing. Thank you, Aaliyah, so much. And as Aaliyah was just saying, this program really does change lives. Each year, 360 offers more than $150,000 in scholarships. A majority of students attend the program at no cost. So please donate to 360 today. I'm now joined by Choma Uwagu, a 360 alum. Choma is part of a very exciting and important community reporting project covering the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, and now following what's happening in Brooklyn Center after the death of 20-year-old Dante Wright at the hands of police. Choma is an associate producer on Racial Reckoning, The Arc of Justice. The stories are distributed to diverse community radio stations all across the state through AMPRS. Besides Choma, three other 360 alums are part of the project: Hali Lee, Samantha Honglong, and Faven Gurezgiher. Choma, before we really dive into this project and what your role is, I want you to introduce to everyone this story that we are about to hear. Walk us through what it's like to be an associate producer on it.
It feels really special to be able to listen to community voices. And after the first week of the trial, Faven and I went down to George Floyd Square to see how the members, the community members, were coping with all they had seen, from jury selection all the way to, you know, the survey results about possibly reopening the square, and just their feelings about all of that.
Let's take a listen now to your piece.
This is Racial Reckoning, the Arc of Justice. Here's Faven Gurezgiher with today's update.
The first week of the Derek Chauvin trial concluded Friday with one longtime Minneapolis officer testifying that Chauvin's use of force on George Floyd was totally unnecessary.
Pulling him down to the ground face down and putting your knee on the neck for that amount of time is just uncalled for.
Chief of Homicide Lieutenant Richard Zimmerman has served on the force since 1985. He said Chauvin violated his training in using the most deadly level of force, adding that having Floyd in handcuffs had already reduced the threat to officer safety. Thursday, the city released survey results indicating local support for the reopening of 38th in Chicago as part of their public safety plan. However, some community members are skeptical. Organizer Marsha Howard challenges the narrative that local residents and George Floyd Square occupiers are two distinct groups.
If you're in this space, you see that it's residents. We walk to the barricade from our homes. We're residents who are just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's our neighborhood, so we're the ones that sweep the street. We feed people, we house the houseless.
Howard says the square is a center for art and mutual aid that has brought the neighborhood together. She says the city must continue to take meaningful steps toward police reform. Until then, Howard says organizers plan to continue to resist the reopening of George Floyd Square.
It's only after we get a modicum of justice that we'll talk about moving out of the way. But to be clear, injustice close these streets. So shouldn't justice open them?
For the Racial Reckoning Project, I'm Faven Gurezgiher.
Racial Reckoning, the Arc of Justice, is produced and supported by AMPRS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, in partnership with KMLJ Radio and the Minnesota Humanities Center. Online at racialreckoningmn.org.
Really impressive work, Choma. You are doing really important work for our communities. I wonder, as a Black woman who recently graduated, what has it been like to cover such a pivotal story that really has created a racial awakening?
Well, George Floyd was actually killed 2 days after my graduation ceremony, and so I never thought any of this would go to trial or I'd have a hand in helping cover the story. And so I think as a Black woman, just to have any connection and getting the story out to community members, I feel really honored that I can help in any way possible.
You've been doing some really important work with protest art, and you worked in college documenting and archiving protest art. I wonder, what are you looking for as you document the trial?
In the trial, we're looking at things that don't just happen in the courtroom. We're looking for, you know, events that are happening outside of protests as well as protests. You know, a lot of people in George Floyd Square are, you know, feeding people. There are community meetings going on. There are a lot of enrichment activities happening. And so we're looking for the good and the bad that wouldn't normally get covered by mainstream media.
Yeah, you know, you're a really talented, really caring young person. And so entering this field of journalism and storytelling can sometimes feel difficult. You can maybe feel like you're alone or by yourself in it. You are telling me how 360 has really provided a support team. How has it impacted you and the work that you're doing?
When I was in the 360 program, it was the first time I ever had a team to support me, because a lot of the times where I was at, I was doing a lot of this work by myself. And so to have a good support team that was able to take my vision and run with it without altering it in any way, shape, or form was really helpful. And so 360 really let my ideas come to life.
Yeah, your ideas come to life, and you were explaining how really you learned so much of that technical work, and you also felt that mentorship. For people who are new to what 360 does, how does it empower you in the work that you're doing now and as you look to your goals for the future?
I think 360 empowered me because I was getting such critical feedback from people who were so advanced in their field. And that just gave me all the courage I needed to feel that I could be successful in the field myself. And so that's one big way that they help, because 360 sources out people who are doing great things in their field to come help the students that they work with.
Yeah. You explained that it really matters to you as you are working on your storytelling to hear from diverse people, that you don't want to hear from people of color only when there are tragedies, but that you really want to lift voices of color to be heard in all aspects. Talk to me about the meaning behind the work that you're doing.
I think the work that we're doing is really important because when we cover things that happen, not just in the trial, but outside of the trial, we're talking to people who have been hurt, and it takes a lot for us to gain their trust. And we want to showcase their stories in the most authentic way possible. And when you have a diverse reporting team reporting on diverse communities, we have that trust in each other. And I think that that's just really important. And even beyond this trial, I hope, you know, Racial Reckoning can have a strong connection with these communities, so we can go into their neighborhoods and talk and, you know, report on their celebration that they have after the trial is over.
And Shoma, for people who are listening now and trying to decide how or how much they would donate to 360, what would you say in terms of what is possible for someone like you who has been through the amazing 360 program?
Yeah, I would say when you donate to 360, you're really investing into the future of the media you want to consume. Someone like me can't ever tell the same story as someone like you or someone else who may be going through the program right now. So when you really invest by donating your dollar, you're really investing in the future of what media can look like in the next 5 to 10 years. And the people who do 360 come out with some amazing story. Like you said, there are three other people from 360, and none of us are creating the same thing.
Wonderful. Shoma, you are a visionary, and it is just so exciting to see the work that you are doing. Thank you so much, Shoma. And a reminder, when you support 360, you're supporting program access for students from all backgrounds and communities. 80% of 360 students attend the program at no cost to their families. So donate today to support program access for all. Our last emerging voice tonight is one you will not want to miss. Ariana Giles is a 360 alum whose voice has been heard nationally and locally on radio and podcasts. We are going to hear an Ariana original, and she, like many journalists of color in Minnesota, is feeling a lot after a long year. From the pandemic to a racial awakening across the country, Ariana reflects on her own year and how she found her voice as a writer.
I wouldn't be lying if I said that the pandemic forced us all to get real with ourselves. And if I said that the death of George Floyd pulled us all back in time. Within days of George Floyd's death, I wrote a personal essay called A Minnesota Weighs In. Is there hope after hashtags? It was my first response to the image of Derek Chauvin's knee on Floyd's neck. At first, I didn't want to write it. I was disgusted and hysterical. But as a journalist and storyteller, I remember feeling like I had to say something. I mean, how could I not? Before then, I had only produced pieces around arts and culture. Never anything super personal or about anything so horrific. Writing this essay was my first time expressing how I felt about racism in this country. This was my opportunity to speak up and talk about what injustice is for people who look like me. At the time, I was reporting on how college affordability affects the youth vote for WNYC's Radio Rookies and YR Media. Later, in an interview with Pop Sugar, I was on a panel talking about the role social media plays in racial reckoning. I said,
sometimes I feel like social media is problematic to real change because we can sit up there and tweet things all day long, but which one of us is going to actually go down there and talk to some people?
When I listen back to that interview, I cringe a little when I hear myself say, but which one of us is going to actually go down there and talk to some people? I was just tired of trying to debunk the history of injustice that runs our country. I know myself, and at that point, I was exhausted. I didn't want to educate white people, and I was over talking about it altogether. It was all feeling like negative energy and a waste of time. My creativity and mental state was far more important than speaking up about the Black reality that I know all too well. I went from tweeting and talking to silence. I deleted my social media apps, and I was just desensitized and done. And for months, I muted my voice. In silence, I journaled, I read fiction, I fed myself healthy food, and I just started practicing self-care. And you know what? We're still in a pandemic, and it's almost the anniversary of the death of George Floyd. I'd be lying if I told you I have bounced back completely. But one thing's for sure. In 2020, I have learned that having a voice simply comes from using it and knowing when it's okay to be still and recharge so I can use it again. In St. Paul, I'm Ariana Giles.
Incredible, Ariana. That was a really, really profound piece. I wonder, in your storytelling, in which ways is it difficult to be that vulnerable?
Well, it definitely is difficult. And I would say the main ways is because you have to be transparent and honest, right? To have these conversations, that's what it takes nowadays, especially to create some change. And I think that's what we need. And so I've learned in these times, especially over the last year, that even when I'm scared to share, or I feel like I'm coming to terms with racial reckoning or everything that's just going on, I have to remain honest and transparent. And it's worth it every time. I end up having the best conversations or the most breakthroughs through my conversations or just a better understanding overall.
How do you feel that those conversations are helping our broader communities, the people who get to read or hear or see what you're doing?
I definitely think that there, you know, with all this history of our country and everything, I think that there's still some things that are left unsaid or there's a taboo kind of vibe to everything. And I think it's just important that we continue to push each other and make each other accountable to have these conversations.
So Ariana, I wonder, you know, you describe 360 to me as a journalism family, and you said you've had support for a handful of years as you've been through this program and now doing so many of your own things. How has 360 affected you and your life?
Well, for one, I would say 360 was or were the people that introduced and opened me up to the world of journalism. I had no clue about it. I didn't have any knowledge about it. So I definitely feel like they've given me the basic skills of storytelling. And like I said, like over the years, I would say, I think they have helped me realize the importance of storytelling and using my voice to represent my community. So I think that that's how they have helped me. And I don't think that if I never met them or was a part of the program, that would have never happened or turned out in this way.
You said that you see yourself as a storyteller moving forward. I wonder, with all of the different skills that you gained through 360, how do you want to use your voice moving forward?
So years ago, when I joined 360, I wanted to be a broadcast journalist. I wanted to be something like you, Brent. Then I got into radio. And now as I prepare to graduate this summer with the bachelor's in creative writing, it's like my new gateway passion is simply being a storyteller. And to me, that just means I want to share stories in a radical and creative way. And I don't know what that will look like, but I guess we'll just have to see where that takes me.
Well, I love that you have these amazing ideas, and I am so impressed and inspired by you that you could be a broadcast journalist, a storyteller on radio. You could do all of these things. It really seems like the world is open to you. I wonder, you know, how do you hope that different communities are informed and inspired and affected by your work? What do you hope that that outcome is amid this racial awakening?
You know, I wouldn't be a good writer if I didn't give somebody new information or new perspective when they read my work, right? And so I think as a writer, I need to have something to say, right? Have an opinion in something, right? And I think when I do that, and when I just you know, have tunnel vision about my own thoughts or my own opinions or where I stand on things, that has helped people connect to my writing. For example, like the whole year, there's been this common thread about being in a pandemic, but like we all have been saying the same thing about the pandemic, but what can we say specifically about it to change people's minds or perspectives, right? So like, that's kind of how I go into writing a new piece. I just kind of kill the noise about everybody else's opinions and just stick to my own.
And why do you hope that people do donate and are generous to the 360 program?
I think because they're really helping young people understand that they do have a voice and that their opinion is worth sharing. And again, without that platform, I don't think that I would have gotten to the point that where I am in being comfortable in sharing my voice and knowing the importance of sharing the stories of my community. And so if you believe that, you know, young people are the future and you like having a new perspective on things and you want to hear from different people who aren't like you, then I would suggest donating to 360 because I'm a product of them and they have allowed me to share my perspective with the world and, you know, my community.
Wonderful. You are a powerhouse, Ariana, somebody who is really relatable, somebody who cares and has such talent. Thank you so much. Wow, what a pleasure to have talked with Aaliyah, Choma, and Ariana tonight. Truly, they are inspiring and empowering other young people and also informing our communities. I cannot wait to see what is next for the three of them. They are truly emerging voices. And this is just a small showcase of what 360 alums are doing locally. The 360 alumni community is spread out all across the country. If you haven't donated yet, I truly hope you will. It'll help inspire the next generation of storytellers. When you support 360 journalism, you're empowering students to be forward-thinking leaders and connecting students with college and career success opportunities. Bottom line, this program changes lives. Your donation is critical for the future of our communities. Thank you for joining me at the Great 360 Listen Together tonight. This podcast was produced and edited by St. Thomas student Caroline Hansen. It was made possible with the support of our sponsors. On the event page, you will find bios of the speakers, and you can connect to their LinkedIn pages to keep in contact and follow their careers. Join the conversation on social media using the hashtag 360 Emerging Voices. I'm Brandy Powell. Thank you for your generosity.